It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's
yes, it's time for the Download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. It's our weekly segment where we feature local CEOs and entrepreneurs talking about what makes their business tick. They tell us their stories so we can better understand ours. Tonight, let's talk home organization. Yep, organizing your house, office, or closet has become a huge industry, with places like Container Store or Target being must visits, especially around back-to-school time right now. And chances are, if you're at the Target, you're buying a Honey Can Do product. Honey Can Do has its North American headquarters right here in the western suburbs. There they have their 500,000 square foot warehouse, plus their headquarters. They're based here. They got a satellite office in Shanghai. Steve Greenspan is the owner and CEO of Honey Can Do, my guest tonight on the Download in Chicago Business. Steve, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
No, it's a big honor, and I'm a big fan of the show. Thank you.
It's not even been 10 years of this company, and to let's go right to the beginning of the origins, because when you started this company, we're three employees. Now you've got over 160 employees. You've got $85 million in revenue. But take us back 9 years ago to 2008. Why did you start Honey Can Do?
Basically, I knew that I wanted to be in the consumer product space. And I wish I could tell you that we had a sophisticated business plan and went out and did focus studies and really had it all buttoned down. But really, it boiled down to just walking the aisles. And I love the category and saw an opportunity there. I'm not smart enough to be in anything sophisticated like biotech devices or software or anything with electrical devices. So basically I said, you know what? I know a little bit about laundry, a little bit about organizing. I wear clothes. I wear shoes on occasion. So I think I can figure this one out.
When you were walking the aisles at that time, even 9 years ago, I would assume I feel like the home organization industry has exploded in the last 10. I feel like I'm it's anecdotal, but I find myself every other day at one of these stores looking for something to make my closet more ergonomical. I mean, in 2008, what was the marketplace like in that aisle that you were walking down?
What I noticed was that the packaging wasn't very good. The designs weren't very strong. There was some basic functionality there, but there was a huge opportunity. The products that were there were overpriced and just not very good, not built to last, and not designed well, and certainly not something that people would be proud to have in their homes. They were basically just minimalistically functional there.
Right. You're talking about hampers and lamps and things like that, right?
Exactly, yeah. Right. So with the recession hit, and I will never know the answer whether or not the recession helped us or hurt us starting at that time. I certainly didn't know that there was going to be a recession happening when I started the company, or I may have thought twice about it, but there was a trend towards people nesting in their home. And when people nest in their home, they tend to focus more on organizing things,
right,
making better use of the space. So it really resulted in an uptick within this category.
I wonder if recession, especially a housing crash, when people aren't leaving their house and they want to change things up and they can't get out of, they can't just, you know, sell their house because it's underwater. I wonder if that does help in the way of home organization in a company like yours.
They're trying to make the best use of their current space. And obviously organization fits right into that. It's fitting more things into less space. People are spending more time at home. They're not vacationing as much. They're not going out for dinners and movies and entertainment as much. So they're spending more time at home, so they're trying to make the most of that space.
Steve, I to go from three employees to 160 in less than a decade, let's talk about scaling that up. I mean, at what point do you recognize as a CEO, as a founder, this is your company, that it's more than the three people that I brought in, that I need to double this, I need to triple this, I need to continue to grow?
It was very gradual, and I'll say up front that I had about four or five very, very rough, challenging, tough years where you're not certain that there's really a light at the end of the tunnel, where you're wondering, you know, am I really doing this, and is it for something in the end? You know, fortunately, we had a very, very great employee base, a great bank that we work with, a great number of vendors that we worked with that kind of saw the vision that we had and supported us. It's, you know, we added employees as we came. Each time we felt like we were doing the right thing and making the right investments, but the financial statements never really confirmed those things.
I mean, this is the Download on Chicago Business, and we try to talk to CEOs and entrepreneurs about the challenges that go along with the success that you've had. And in this business, it's a successful business as we speak here in 2017. But as you mentioned, the first 4 or 5 years, rocky. When you're the leader of a company like that, and every choice could be the last, what goes through your head? What do you have to do? What's the resolve that's needed to lead in when you don't know where the next move is coming?
A quick anecdote related to that. So at the end of 1 year in business, I'm in a bad hotel in China halfway across the world, and I'm literally the back of a napkin putting together some numbers, and I Skype my wife, and I say, you know what, I put together some things. If we close the business today, you know, we can sell off what little inventory we have, collect what little payables we receivables that we have coming in, and we can I can work out a payment plan with the bank. I can you know, take care of most of what we owe the vendors and work out something with them. Do our best for the couple of employees that we have at the company, and you know, and keep our home. Yeah. Work with the bank to keep our home. And my wife turned and said on the phone there, she said, you know what? I never want to hear this this conversation again. You got us into this mess. You're going to get us out of this mess, and you're not quitting. And you're going to do whatever you need to do in order to fix this.
That's a motivational poster if I've ever heard one. Right?
Exactly.
You got us into this mess. You get us out.
You're going to get us out of it. So at that point, I never really thought that. I always had in the back of my mind, like, oh, there's a little safety net here. If we quit today, what does that look like? And then after that, there was never any quitting. And you just do what you need to do. You know, certainly when resources are tight, you're very tight with those resources. You can't afford to do exactly what you think that you need to do, but you do what you can, and you make it happen. You know, certainly today we're bringing in such outstanding people. And in the beginning, we had great, fantastic, loyal, hardworking people, but maybe not with the experience that we necessarily needed at the time.
I'm interested, is there a point, I mean, remembering that anecdotal story about the conversation with your wife, is there also, on the flip side, a point that you remember when you realized that this was taking off, that, you know, you were going from the conversation you were having to closer to where you're at now?
Yeah, even today, you know, I'm very careful because it wasn't that long ago that we were struggling. So even today, I don't believe my own press clippings or anything like that, but you know, certainly that first year when there was a black number at the bottom of the financial of the income statement as opposed to a red number, you know, you have a little bit of confidence there. But it, you know, it's always been our goal to grow and get bigger, so we're consistently investing and consistently finding ways to be better. You know, certainly the turning point is when you end the year with a positive number.
Well, here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to ask you about how much of Honey Can Do is the product that people come home and assemble and help organize their home, and how much of it is the spirit, the vibe, the experience that you get from the website, from the product, from the packaging. Because there is something about, I mean, we've seen in the last 10 years just a change in even how you mentioned, you know, at the beginning when you went through those aisles back in 2008, it was uninspiring. But when you go to Honey Can Do products on the site, I mean, there seems to be a story you're wanting to tell. So Steve Greenspan is an owner and CEO of Honey Can Do. He's my guest tonight on the Download in Chicago Business. We'll take a quick break and we'll continue the conversation. Stay with us.
It's business time.
It's a Download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. In studio tonight, Steve Greenspan. He's the owner and CEO of Honey Can Do, home organization product line in Chicago, the western suburbs, right in Berkeley, 500,000 square foot warehouse and headquarters. They also have a satellite office in Shanghai, $85 million in annual revenue, and also 165 plus employees in less than a decade. That's what gets me, Steve. The idea that this company started with 3 employees in 2008. I mean, does that register with you that you're not even to the 10-year celebration yet?
I'm blown away by the whole ride. It's having great people, and I don't know if I could ever repeat it. I I don't know what I did, but whatever we're doing, it seems to be working right now.
What are the challenges? I mean, I ask this all the time of people who are in this segment of growth like this, to go from managing three employees to 165 to being a CEO, not just of an office here in Chicago, but also in Shanghai. As a CEO, what are the challenges of managing people?
It's finding the right people and then kind of giving them the guidance and the ability to make those decisions. You know, for myself, I am very fortunate to have a very strong network and people who I know who have just been so giving of their time and experience that have been very influential to me in guiding me along a great path here and giving me great advice. You know, it's identifying the right people that we want to have within the company and then trusting those people to make the right decisions and making sure that they understand where you want the company to be, how you want to get there, and then saying, go do it. You know, that's
was that hard for you when you started? I mean, because obviously the jump from 3 to 165, that's easy to say. It's about the people. But when you started to have to lose the control of just three people in front of you and go from 5, go to 10, go to 20, was that hard for you personally as a CEO?
When you're starting out, I was doing everything, you know, along with a couple of other folks that we had there. I was helping to unload containers that were coming in. I was picking orders. I was dealing directly with customers and cold calling and doing everything that needed to be done within the company. And, you know, helping with designs and helping with a number of different things, just very, very basic, doing everything because otherwise it didn't get done. Mm-hmm. So that gave a real good base of kind of how you do things. So of course, I wasn't an expert in any of those things. And now we've been fortunate to bring in people that are far more knowledgeable and experienced than I ever will be. But it's been fantastic just to be able to be at a size where you could afford to bring in such great, great people and then be able to do that.
You know, for you as a CEO, and I think about business lessons, and obviously we've talked about, you know, the point when you could have walked away and also the point of understanding, you know, where you need to go as strategy. When you're in this business, in the business of home organization, where there is a lot of competition, how do you stand out? I mean, it doesn't matter that that you make hampers because somebody else makes hampers. You know, I mean, there's a lot that are happening at this point. How do you get Honey Can Do to stand out in a crowded field of home organization?
It's a full story of what we do, and it's not one thing. Something that was real important to us was having a full line, which makes it beneficial for the retailer to put it on their shelves, for a brick and mortar retailer to have it on their shelves. It was our goal to be able to go in to any retailer and say, okay, you have 12 feet of home organization space. We're going to be your one-stop source. You're going to have consistent packaging there that looks nice. You're going to have your steel products and your wood products and your bamboo and your plastic and everything from one source, and we'll be able to ship it to you on one load and be able to consolidate that mm-hmm. for you because you know, this isn't a big focus for many retailers, and we just wanted to make it easy for them. We feel that our designs are second to none. We provide the only lifetime warranty of anybody in our category because we feel the quality is that strong. We stand behind the products. We have assembly videos for all of our products that require a lot of assembly. It's not necessarily one thing, but it's just being able to do it.
You know, let me add, I mean, as the company looks to the next 10 years, the retail space, especially when it comes to furniture and home organization, is changing. I mean, retail in general is changing. Do people want to have their experience online? Are you prepared as a company to say, you know what, we can survive without having our product on a shelf in a brick and mortar store? We can play with the big boys at Amazon and other places and just be a place that delivers it digitally online.
I'll tell you, one of the things that we kind of, I don't want to say fell into, but we were very opportunistic about was going online and being a provider to online retailers. It takes a lot to provide products to e-commerce and be able to drop ship. back in 2008 when nobody was contacting us and we couldn't get anybody to return our phone calls or look twice at us at a trade show. I got a phone call out of the blue from a small online retailer. And he, I picked up the phone, before the first ring was over. I was real excited because nobody was calling us. and he asked the question, hey, did you guys drop ship? And I said, if we drop ship, will you put our products on your website? And he responded, boy, if you guys drop ship, I'll put your entire catalog on our website. There's nobody in your category that's drop shipping, and that's what we're looking for. And I said, wow, well, you're in luck because we drop ship. We do that. And so hang up the phone, go out to the guy in our warehouse at the time, and I said, hey, good news, we got a customer, yeah, but he wants us to drop ship. And when he looked at me and said, okay, well, what's drop ship? And I had no idea, but fortunately we didn't get a lot of orders to start, so we were able to figure it out pretty quickly.
And that helped you, though, I would assume now, because that's dropship is essentially how you deal with online retailers.
You have to, and at the time, we have competitors that have been around much, much bigger than us at the time, 50, 60, 70 years. And we had no legacy issues with our warehouse and with our computer systems and with our people, whereas they had all those issues. And we were able to drop ship and be a little bit more flexible and a little bit more scrappy than they could be. And from there, we found out this huge opportunity that nobody was working on at the time, and we got an in with many, many online retailers.
Let me ask you the last question. I ask this of everybody, but I mean, you are a Chicago company, right in Berkeley, right next to Elmhurst there, right outside of Chicago, and you guys have a satellite office in Shanghai, but Honey Can Do is on shelves everywhere. Why Chicago? What is it about this town? What is it about the business climate here that had you set up shop and kept you here?
Well, Chicago is my home. I born and raised in, within the Chicagoland. I love it. The people, second and none, especially in the consumer product space. We have so many companies here and so much going on. You can find wonderful, wonderful experienced people here that you just can't find in a lot of markets. Transportation, not just to get our products out to the coasts and to the customers. This is a great place to be. We've got, such great rail for incoming products as well, and for us to go visit other customers or to go to Asia to see our production. You could fly anywhere that you need to be out of Chicago with no issues. The Village of Berkeley, I'll give a shout out to them. They have been nothing but spectacular in supporting us in everything that we've ever asked for from them, and had a great, great relationship with our village. I'd be disingenuous if I didn't say that I was a little bit concerned about some of the things going on in Cook County and some of the things going on in the state of Illinois. I just hope that somewhere some cool heads will prevail and they'll be able to figure out that they need to be, create a nice climate for business to be here to provide jobs.
Steve Greenspan is the owner and CEO of Honey Can Do and Home Organization Company here in Chicago, right in Berkeley, Illinois, in the western suburbs. Their 500,000 square foot warehouse and headquarters are there, as well as a satellite office in Shanghai. Steve, thanks for being my guest in the Download in Chicago Business tonight.
Truly an honor. Thank you for having me.